I'm Laura Murphy-Oates, and this is The Full Story.
Well, it's looking challenging every day. Our public health system was already dealing with peak loads before this particular outbreak.
With COVID-19 cases rapidly rising in Victoria, so are hospitalisations and deaths.
I'm very sad to have to report that 7 people lost their lives to COVID-19. Can I use this as an opportunity to pass on all Victorians' deepest condolences to the families, the friends and the communities of those people whose lives have been lost.
Victorian health workers are bracing for the tough months ahead. But after multiple severe outbreaks and lockdowns throughout the past year and a half, plus a recent rise in anti-lockdown protesters targeting health workers, there's reports that many are already feeling the strain.
After 20 months of continuously ramped up efforts of demand on our health system, our frontline healthcare workers right across the system are working like never before.
So, how is the Victorian health system coping right now? And could it get overwhelmed in the coming months? Today, Victoria's health system battles yet another COVID-19 wave. It's Thursday, the 30th of September. Hello. How you going, Mel?
Hello.
Melissa Davey is Guardian Australia's medical editor.
Let's hope that my dog doesn't jump on my head again.
So, Mel, in the past month, we know that some Sydney hospitals have been overwhelmed with cases of COVID-19, but I also know that COVID cases are rising in your state of Victoria. Can you just give me a snapshot of what's happening there overall?
Yeah, so we're a couple of weeks behind New South Wales, really. Mm. And what we've seen is cases have gone from the 200s and 300s earlier this month to over 800 in just a matter of weeks. Earlier this week, on Tuesday, Victoria actually overtook New South Wales in terms of the most cases in a day, and that's the first time that's happened in a long time. Mm. And so that's resulted in health workers here really bracing to face another wave of COVID. Obviously, we had a really significant wave of COVID last year. So there are currently a few hundred people in hospital with COVID-19 throughout the state, and we have getting close to 100 people in intensive care. And many of those are on ventilators, more than half of them are on ventilators. So they're very unwell people.
Mm-hmm.
On the weekend, the Health Minister, Martin Foley, said that there had been a 55% increase in COVID-19 hospitalisations in a one-week period.
Mm. Can you tell me why there has been this sudden jump in hospitalisation cases?
Yeah, it's just because it takes a while for people to become very unwell. So several experts I spoke to have told me this is just a natural result of cases rising. As we're getting more daily cases, then, you know, about a week to 9 days later, you'll see jumps day after day also in the hospital system.
Mm. So with these cases rising, are there any early warning signs that the health system is starting to face strain?
Yeah, absolutely. So, I mean, if you speak to nurses and doctors, even before COVID, they say the health system is always strained. Mm-hmm. It's always overwhelmed and overworked, particularly in emergency. A health worker I spoke to this week anonymously showed me a video from the Northern Hospital in Epping, which is about 20 kilometres north of Melbourne City. And it was taken on Monday this week, and it showed more than a dozen ambulances just ramping outside the hospital. And ramping is when you have patients in the back of the ambulance unable to be admitted because there's just not the space, there's not the beds, they're just literally waiting outside. Deborah Bourne, who is the Chief Operating Officer of Northern Health, which manages the Northern Hospital, said that this is happening because of the COVID patients they're getting. So she said Monday was a particularly busy day in the hospital's emergency department. They had 96 ambulance arrivals and 403 patients to be seen. And every one of those patients then needs to be really carefully screened for COVID-19. So it takes a lot longer to receive those patients into emergency. And it is a very busy COVID hospital. So they have 3 COVID wards and then the ICU on top of that, which is also managing COVID patients. Mm. And you know, lots of Victoria's COVID-19 cases, about half of the new cases announced each day this week are in the northern suburbs. So this hospital is getting a lot of the people falling unwell from those suburbs.
So the epicentre is really happening in the north. Is it just this hospital that's affected, or have we heard of other hospitals?
The Royal Melbourne Hospital is the other hospital taking quite a high proportion of patients as well. Mm-hmm. And on Tuesday, I spoke to Dr. Kate Kelly, who's the chief medical officer of that hospital. And they're operating 4 COVID wards, and then that's not including, again, intensive care. And they're managing 77 COVID positive patients across the wards. So over the past 2 weeks, she said that there had no doubt been a spike in hospital presentations with COVID-19. And there's so many patients now that they've had to permanently close their public COVID-19 testing and screening clinic. So they need to reallocate all of those resources to the emergency department just to give them some additional capacity to manage these increased COVID cases.
Mm, right. So we are seeing a high number of cases in particular hospitals, and the strain is starting to show there. But are we expecting to see the broader hospital system get overwhelmed, as is happening in New South Wales and is expected to, you know, worsen over the next couple of months? Will the same play out in Victoria, as far as we know?
Well, according to the Burnet Institute, it's a medical research institute that provides modelling to the Victorian government, even without any easing of restrictions, there's a moderate risk of exceeding health system capacity.
Mm.
So according to the modelling, there is a peak in diagnoses of COVID-19 expected to occur somewhere between the 19th and the 31st of October. So let's say roughly in a month's time. And at that time, they think that there'll be a peak in the 7-day average of about 1,400 to almost 3,000 cases.
Mm.
So they said this will result in corresponding peaks in the hospital and intensive care system. So with modelling, they come up with a bunch of different scenarios. They put in different inputs, you know, depending on different restrictions, depending on different case numbers. And many of the models that they came up with said that hospital demand will exceed 2,500 beds, so that they'll need more than that to cope with this peak in cases.
Right. How many beds does the Victorian health system have?
The Health Minister, Martin Foley, told Parliament earlier this month that the state has about 570 intensive care unit beds. But he also said that the government's increased capacity across 13 hospitals to manage about 4,000 intensive care cases.
Mm.
So 4 times the normal amount, let's say. And they do this by reallocating beds from other wards, for example. But it's about more than beds. You also need the staff, you need the experts. Not all nurses or medical specialists can necessarily treat someone in intensive care. It's a very specialised set of skills.
ICU nurses and specialists do not grow on trees. Those frontline ICU staff last year in full PPE, in N95 masks for 12-hour shifts, for double shifts, they flog themselves senseless for the Victorian people.
So you also need health workers well and not burned out and not infected with COVID, so they're off work. And that's already happening. So according to some figures from earlier in the month, there are more than 700 staff, and that's all hospital staff, not just clinical staff, across hospitals in Victoria who either have COVID or who are off work because they've been exposed to COVID. So that's quite a significant number of the workforce. And that number would have only grown since then.
So I recently spoke to our colleague Elias Vasante about what these types of staff shortages have meant for New South Wales hospitals, where health workers have kind of been pulled from all over the system to plug the holes. Could that happen in Victoria as well?
So at the moment in Victoria, we haven't quite seen what we are in New South Wales, where they're pulling neurologists and cardiologists out of their specialties to come and help out in respiratory wards. But we might start to see that in coming weeks here.
So how is the Victorian health system preparing for this peak right now if they have this modelling in their hands?
So the health minister said on the weekend that the government's discussing plans for boosting hospital capacity by, for example, putting a pause on elective surgery?
Elective surgery is particularly non-urgent elective surgery is clearly on the table to pause and to delay.
And that would, you know, free up those staff to go to COVID wards.
Thereby freeing up further capacity in the public sector to look after COVID patients.
And a Victorian Department of Health spokesman told me that hospitals have been preparing for this since last year, really. So they've already got plans to create extra capacity, make sure there are enough beds, bring in extra equipment, extra personal protective equipment as well, and they can manage this surge. And they're able to really rapidly scale up if they need to, you know, send patients home if they need to, reallocate wards and make sure that they can boost that capacity.
Mm.
I was talking to the former vice president of the Victorian branch of the Australian Medical Association, Dr. Stephen Parnas, and he works across three hospitals throughout the state. And he said that while hospitals are really preparing and they're as prepared as they can be, there's just no guarantee that they will get through the next few months unscathed.
Mm. I imagine no matter how prepared any health system is, there's also some really important mental health considerations, especially for a workforce that's already experienced such severe outbreaks in 2020.
We have to remember that Victoria has faced quite a significant toll throughout the past 2 years, and we had the second wave of the virus last year, which saw us locked down and many, many people from aged care reallocated to hospitals. We had a high number of deaths. So health workers are still recovering from that. And just like the general population, they're going through lockdowns as well. So I think there is a real feeling of fatigue and burnout. So Dr. Parnas was telling me that across the hospitals he's working at, health workers are definitely calling in sick from exhaustion.
Mm-hmm.
He said it's making hospital rosters really difficult to fill. There's just not enough staff. And he said that this is concerning as we're now bracing for that peak in hospitalisations we were talking about before. So he said that sick leave is definitely higher than normal, especially in nursing, and that double shifts are much more common. You know, that's only adding to that fatigue we were talking about. He said that he's always called in on weekends and that, you know, it's really important to have your time off to recharge, but then you also feel a sense of obligation to go in and help out. You know that you wouldn't be called unless the workplace is really under pressure.
Next, how anti-lockdown protests and vaccination rates are impacting the lives of Victorian health workers. It's also been an incredibly stressful time in Victoria. Last week, we saw protests against mandatory vaccinations by tradies that were then also co-opted by anti-vaxxers. People were out in the thousands protesting on the streets for days and not wearing masks or social distancing either. Have these protests added any more strain to the hospital system and on health workers?
Well, we know there have been a couple of COVID positive cases at those protests. It will take some time to see what effect this has had, whether those people infected others. But it's certainly taking a mental toll. So, you know, health workers are being targeted by protesters, and there's a clinic in the city called the CoHealth Town Hall Vaccination Centre, and it provides really essential services, including COVID-19 vaccinations, to those facing disadvantage, so people who are homeless, for example. And that clinic was forced to close from Thursday through to Sunday because the health workers there were being targeted by these violent and unpredictable protests in the city.
Mm. What do you mean targeted? What does that look like?
The protesters would be able to identify the health staff because they were wearing their uniforms or their lanyards, and they were abusing them, getting in their way. And as a result, CoHealth just had to shut the vaccination centre for the safety of their staff. It's just another layer of stress that staff have to deal with. And Dr. Parner said that health workers have been encouraged to change out of their scrubs before going home. You know, don't stop at the supermarket on the way home wearing any of your identifying gear, because you might also be targeted as well by anti-vaxxers and people who don't believe in COVID and that kind of thing. And so that really makes it difficult when you're a health worker who has worked long shifts, you're exhausted, you're treating COVID patients. You know that one of the reasons why hospital rates are high is because at the moment we just don't quite have the high enough vaccination numbers yet to drive those cases down. And then you're dealing with these anti-vaccination protesters and seeing that all over the news and maybe even being directly targeted on your time off or on your way to work.
I mean, I can't imagine going into work into an already strained workplace where people are calling in sick and you are seeing people dying. You are caring for incredibly sick people with COVID-19 to then be targeted for that work that you're doing. I just can't imagine the frustration, really, that you would feel.
Exactly. I think, you know, one of the heartening things is that we are approaching quite high vaccination rates. There's talk that we could get up to 90% vaccination rates in Australia of people aged over 12. And so even though these protesters are definitely having an impact, they're by no means the prevailing view.
So Mel, you mentioned vaccination rates. Where is Victoria at right now with its vaccination effort?
Currently, Victoria is sitting around 77% first dose. In fact, we'll reach 80% sometime this week. And we are at 47% fully vaccinated. That's quite high, but it's not as high as New South Wales, Tasmania, the ACT. And of course, we've got a higher caseload than most of those places. So when I spoke to the Chief Operating Officer of Northern Health, Deborah Bourne, she just urged people to get vaccinated. She said it's the best thing people can do to ease hospital pressure. And Dr. Kate Kelly from the Royal Melbourne Hospital, the chief medical officer there, said exactly the same. She said that many of the people appearing in that hospital are young, they're fit and otherwise healthy, and it's COVID that's bringing them in. And a disproportionate number of those young people are just not fully vaccinated. It's just vaccination is so protective against serious disease and death.
Is there anything more that the state government or the federal government could be doing for health workers in Victoria, seeing this kind of looming peak of hospitalizations and cases coming in the next month, month and a half?
Well, of course, the major measure that governments have at the moment is locking down, which is what the Victorian government has done very harshly, some would say, but it has slowed the number of cases in hospital. So even though we're seeing this increase, you can only imagine how many cases we might be seeing if these restrictions weren't in place. Though there are legitimate arguments about whether some of the restrictions are too tough, like the curfew and things like that. Overall, it's clear that something was needed until we get those vaccination rates higher to ease the strain on the hospital system.
6,000 case difference and hundreds of hospitalisations averted. So what Victorians are doing right now is working. It's saving lives. There are people who would have lost their lives today who haven't because of everything that Victorians have done. But that doesn't mean we can afford to rest on our laurels. Cases are increasing. You know, this is nowhere where any of us want to be.
And then, of course, you know, that brings us back, as always, to vaccination. Governments need to be pushing this and continuing to push this. And on top of that, there needs to be a recognition that the health system is always under strain, even before COVID, and that governments need to continuously be looking at how to increase capacity and train more staff when this crisis is over and not forget about it once we finally get on top of this.
Right, because with possibly other variants in months and years to come, this might be a bit of a pattern. I mean, we'll have a vaccinated society going forward, but these waves of COVID cases could be an issue that our hospitals face for a while. Isn't that right?
It's likely that every season we will see a rise in COVID cases in hospital. That will be a trend for years to come. But there's no doubt that the impact each year will be lessened by high vaccination rates and more immunity to the virus. And so we can be hopeful that we won't always be experiencing COVID in quite this way in the hospital system.
That was Melissa Davey, Guardian Australia's medical editor. You can find her reporting on this issue, plus that of the broader Guardian team, at theguardian.com, but we've put a link to a few relevant stories on the full story page as well. This episode was produced by Karishma Luthria, Joe Koning and Daniel Simo. The executive producers of Full Story are Gabrielle Jackson, Miles Mattagnoni and myself, Laura Murphy-Oates. OK, catch you tomorrow.